Bom dia, boa tarde. Welcome to another episode of the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast. I'm your guest host, John Neves, back here again to talk about my favorite subject, your favorite subject, and that is, of course, Portuguese soccer, Portuguese football, whatever word you use in your part of the world. Episode 196. Let me just say up front that the thing I use to record my episode, organize it, and then, of course, distribute it to all the audio platforms like iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Podcast Addict, is unfortunately not working. As a result, this podcast will just basically be my voice. Nothing else will be included due to the fact that I can't seem to get it working. And every time I did, the files just wouldn't work. So this is just a straight up podcast. And I'm only putting this up right now on YouTube because of the fact that I have to create the file differently for YouTube being a video. I was able to get it working for that, but not for the audio. But if you're listening to this and the audio eventually is working over the weekend, I will put it up on all the different platforms, Spotify, Google Podcast, everything. But unfortunately, when I drop this right away, it will only be available on YouTube, and I'm keeping my fingers crossed that the support ticket I put in will hopefully be fixed in time. Otherwise, this episode 196 will only be on YouTube. And it's kind of frustrating because, you know, you have to, first of all, when you deal with these companies, these technology companies, you got to email them, and then they tell you to look at these articles to see if you can find a solution to your problem. Sometimes you're dealing with a chatbot. I actually went on the chatbot and I said, I want to talk to a live person. And I did get somebody and they confirmed that, in fact, there is an issue with my account and creating the podcast. So it's just on YouTube. But again, as soon as it is up and running, I will put it up on all those audio platforms, hopefully sooner than later. But I had three choices. I didn't have to do a podcast this week. I could have skipped, but I didn't really want to do that because so much is going on with Roberto Martinez's call-ups, the Derby. You've got a great Vitória Porto match. What's going on with Benfica? Second division report. We saw another Portuguese manager get fired. So there's just a lot of things that I was talking about, and I figured let me at least put it up on YouTube. My second option was wait until it was fixed, then put it up. But I have no timeline, and they couldn't promise it would be done anytime soon. And, of course, my schedule is also busy the next few days, so I figured let me just keep to my schedule. And then the third option would, have, of course, been what I'm doing right now, and that is, if it's not available on audio, put it up on YouTube so everyone could continue listening to it like you do. And I know many of you, it's part of your routine. So, again, thank you so much. So hopefully my problems will be fixed. Hopefully I'll be able to get the audio out over the weekend. But at the very least, for this week, we have YouTube, and there's nothing I can do. It's beyond my control, and that's just the way it goes. But let's get going, talking about episode 196 as we approach the middle of November. First off, the day I drop this episode, Roberto Martinez will be announcing his squad selections for the final two group matches. Of course, Portugal has already qualified. Right now, it's just basically playing out the schedule. They play Liechtenstein, and then they play at home against Iceland. And the question I've asked in past episodes, and I ask pretty much now, is basically, what's Roberto Martinez going to do with the call-ups? Is he going to basically call up all his top players and keep it the same so that the players could still continue to work with him at training and absorb his ideas, which he has kind of hinted was something that he really wants to do with this group? That's one of the reasons why back in September there was a lot of criticism about João Cancelo and João Felix being called up, because they weren't really doing a lot instead of other players like a Bruma and a Paulinho that are in a Pote, for instance, as well, that have been very productive with their club and deserve the call-ups. But apparently he has the idea of the squad that he wants for next summer, and it isn't so much apparently on your form. It's about the team that he could put together to get ready for the Euro. So the question is will he call up all the best players, or will he only call up some of them and basically bring in some new faces like a Pote, like a Bruma? Does he bring in a new goalkeeper like a Mateus from Braga? Things of that nature. There's a lot of players that are probably looking to get a call. Nuno Santos of Sporting also wants to get the call up this weekend for the next call up. He talked about it as well. So is he going to stick to the old and go with the same squad he's been using, which quite frankly, it's been very successful. Let's be honest with you. He has been so far doing very well as manager. Or does he take a chance? Because after all, do you want to be playing Liechtenstein and having one of your better players possibly get hurt? Is it even worth it? Same thing with Iceland. Iceland and Liechtenstein have nothing to play for. They're not going to qualify out of their group. So do you take chances and maybe just instead bring in young players, you know, João Neves, and let these young players get their experience with the national team these two matches? So I think it's going to be a little bit of both. I think Pote is going to get the call. I'm going to predict that right now. Hopefully I'm right. I think Bruma has a chance, and I think Mateos has a chance. But again, I think that's the question that you will hear the media ask on Friday is, why did you call up this player and why didn't you call up this player? And I think those are some of the questions we're going to hear from at the press conference tomorrow. But I'm expecting a combination of young and old. Does Cristiano maybe get called up? Probably not. They'll maybe let him stay in Saudi Arabia. On the other hand, Cristiano does love to break records. He wants to build on the records he set. So we'll see what happens because he's practically already broken all of them. So that's my thoughts on Roberto Martinez. I think he's going to call a combination of both young and old and mix it up. But I think most of the young players will probably see all the action for these meaningless matches. But let's talk about, of course, this weekend's action. And that is, of course, Liga BetClic. Match day 11, and obviously the big talk this weekend will all be about the derby in Luge between Benfica and Sporting, and there's really two storylines that are going here. First off, Benfica is only 3 points behind Sporting in the table. They are still alive in the Taça de Portugal. They are still alive in the Taça de Liga, but they've been an absolute disaster in the Champions League. Not only the fact that they haven't won their four matches, they've lost a lot of money because every time you win a group match or you earn a point, there's money to be made with that. And if I recall last year, I think Benfica, by going to the quarterfinals, made something like, I think they made something like over 80 million euros, which is huge because that doesn't even involve selling players. That doesn't involve the tickets that you sell for matches. That's totally a different thing, just money from Champions League revenue. And Benfica right now, outside of the money that they've already earned by qualifying directly into the groups, which was something like 40-something million, they haven't heard anything else. And what does this mean unless they somehow can make it to Europa? But even if they make it to Europa, they're not going to earn Champions League money. So this almost means that perhaps a player like Antonio Silva is going to be sold. Maybe, I don't know about João Neves. I think maybe he's a little bit too young. But if somebody comes along and offers 70, how that's hard to turn down. Same thing with Antonio Silva. We know Gonçalo Inácio has been linked with some big clubs in Europe, and now all of a sudden Antonio Silva is available on the market. Do maybe clubs go after him when they're looking for a defender in Portugal? I think that's the interesting thing. But Benfica has just been a total disappointment. But look, the great thing is that they win Sporting. Not that they'll be forgiven, but people will certainly feel better. And there's already talk that Roger Schmidt could be on the hot seat. But a win in the derby, in the Luge, going level on points with one of your rivals Sporting is going to solve a lot of problems. So there's a lot of pressure on Benfica. I think that this is the first time that Roger Schmidt is dealing with some serious crisis, particularly with the Champions League. And I think that that's it. If you're Sporting, you haven't lost in Liga. You're sitting at second place in Europa group with a chance when you go to play Atalanta in Italy later this month to possibly with a good result, maybe be in first place. But at the end of the day, everything's gone right for you. But you know what? You go to the Luge and you lose and you're level on points. That's all people remember last time is the most recent result. So this is a big match. Look, it's always a big match when Benfica Sporting play each other or Porto. Whenever these three get together to play each other, it is a big match, and therefore the derby, which pretty much ends everything this weekend. It's the final match on Sunday night, is, of course, going to be very important. But I think for me, there's going to be a draw, which, by the way, does not help Benfica's fans. I don't think they would be happy with a draw. I think, especially Rui Costa, they want to see the win. They want Benfica players to respond, and it's very surprising. It's just very, very surprising to see what's going on with Benfica. Even if you're not a Benfica fan, you will admit that you are very surprised by what they does. Because, by the way, this also means we're not gaining coefficient points. It means we continue to get weaker in Europe, and this is not a very good thing for Portuguese football to see. A club that made it to the quarterfinals this year is not even going to barely make it out of the groups, and may not even, if things don't change with these final two match days, they may not even be in Europe at all, not even Europa. But Benfica does still have that slight hope because they've been eliminated from the Champions League. They still have that slight hope for the Europa League to qualify if they finish in third place, and we'll see what happens with that. The other big match this weekend, of course, is Vitória Guimarães against Porto, and that's going to be on Saturday. Porto 6 points behind Sporting, 3 points behind Benfica after their awful loss to Estoril. They go to Vitória Guimarães, which is, of course, the fourth best supported club in Portugal. There's going to be a big crowd at this game. Andre Franco is really encouraging the Porto fans to show up for this match. And this is a very, very good match as well this weekend. Not as great as the Derby, but you have basically fifth-place Vitória taking on the third-place Porto. And Porto's got to be careful. Even if they draw, this would be a bad result. And look, if they draw and either Sporting or Benfica wins and they put some further behind, if they win and Sporting or Benfica draw, then obviously they get a lot closer to the top, and I think that's what everybody's looking for. But, you look, you're going to hear Conceição say on Saturday that he's not thinking about the Derby, that he's only thinking about his match. And he's right, because they need the 3 points, but if they don't get it, that'll be tough. Meanwhile, Vitória, which is playing much better under manager Alvaro Pacheco, they have done very, very well. I think they even, didn't they just beat up Chaves? This is an opportunity for Vitória to continue to show. And by the way, they're only 1 point behind Braga for fourth place. And Braga's got to be a little bit nervous because, again, we know what was going to happen with Real Madrid. But they've also have a few draws lately that have not been good. But match day 11 gets going on Friday with Estoril Praia against Casa Pia. Saturday, you have four matches. Portimonense Chaves get it going at 15:30. And then, of course, Vitória Porto ended on Saturday night. And then you have four more matches on Sunday before the international break. And that is, of course, Boa Vista Feirense will get it going. And then, of course, everything ends with Benfica Sporting. So, obviously, the two best matches this weekend are the Derby and, of course, as well, are Vitória versus Porto. And the second division report, by the way, there's also some very good matches this weekend. Last weekend, I was saying that a lot of the matches in the first division were just the bottom teams playing the top clubs, and then we had a surprise with the Porto. But last week, we did have some decent matches in the second division, and it's happening again with match day 10 and this weekend. Obviously, the best match this weekend, no doubt about it. Santa Clara, second place, taking on first place AVS. Santa Clara, of course, looking to finish top two to be promoted. And right now, they trail AVS by 5 points. So this is a must-win match in Ponto Delgada. Another interesting match this weekend is Nacional, which is in a second-place tie with Santa Clara with 17 points. They're going to be playing Leiria, and Leiria is in seventh place, so that's a very good match as well. And then the other interesting team in this group, Marítimo, which is in fourth place, they are going to be traveling to the mainland to play Leixões and make the trip to the Porto region to play Leixões. My favorite club in the second division, Turiens. They get going on Sunday. They play the 11 a.m. morning match against Mafra. Turiens sitting in fifth place, doing very well. And the other club, because of their proximity to up north where I'm from, my family's from, Arcos de Valdevez, and that's Lenk Vilaverdense. Big result last week, finally winning the first match of the season. Maybe they're starting to see some decent results with their manager that they hired a few weeks ago. They're at home to Tundela, which is kind of struggling this year. They're only in 13th place. So everything that's going on Friday with Feirense taking on Belenenses, which is having a bit of a struggle, by the way, in relegation zone of 17th place. But it's not easy for clubs to, especially the way they've moved up all the way to the second division so fast from the districts. All of a sudden you get to the second division and you're talking about a whole set of different money and a whole set of different players. But Belenenses right now, I know that disappoints a lot of people, is sitting in the relegation zone. But look, it's only the second week of November. a long way to go. But again, great matches this weekend. First and second place with Santa Clara AVS. Nacional Leiria is a fantastic match. And that pretty much gets us going there. And again, I'm continuing because, unfortunately, my ability to include transitions and all the other stuff that I put in my podcast, I'm not able to do it. So I'm just going to do a straightforward talking and then put up the audio on YouTube. And hopefully, over the weekend, get my audio as well up on the audio podcast of Spotify, YouTube, iTunes, all that. Hopefully I'll get it up this weekend, but that's why I'm going to continue to go. There won't be any break. Heading to women's football report this weekend. Obviously, they're resuming action after the international break with women's. Benfica in first place with 15 points. Braga in second place with 13 points. Damiens in third with 12. And Sporting, hard to believe they've already dropped 5 points. In women's football, they are in fourth place with 10 points. This weekend, Benfica is at home to Damiens, so you've got a first versus third place battle in women's football. Braga is making the short trip to play Fama, and Sporting is going to be playing the last place team, Clube de Albuquerque, and that's going to be taking place on Sunday. And again, women's football, it's good to see the league back. And if you get a chance, check out the Liga BPI. I think you'll enjoy it pretty much. Let me continue on here. Let me go to the international report, managers and players abroad. Jota continues to do great things for Liverpool. 9 goals in his last 8 Europa matches. It reminds me of Falcon when he used to dominate the Europa League with Porto. Well, Jota seems to be dominating the Europa League. 9 goals in his last 8 Europa matches for Liverpool, so he has been fantastic in this competition. Interesting thing, well, he's actually out of a job, but I'll still put him in the managers and player abroad section. Fernando Santos did an interview with Albola. Obviously, he's back in the news and talking about his time as a manager, and he talks about how he hopes his relationship, he can mend his relationship with Cristiano Ronaldo because Cristiano is still upset about the fact that he wasn't a starter in those latter, toward the end of the World Cup matches in Qatar. Cristiano, of course, when Fernando Santos basically left the national team, everybody, a lot of the players all said thank you on social media. But from what I understand, Cristiano Ronaldo is quiet. So Fernando Santos is still hoping to fix his relationship with Cristiano Ronaldo. And he gave an interview to Albola. He also talked about the fact that, in his opinion, without a doubt, that Cristiano Ronaldo is the best player ever that played, in his opinion. And he's been out there. So we'll see if Cristiano in the future is able to make amends with Fernando Santos. I think... they did a lot of great things together. They won a Euro. They won a Nations League. Cristiano scored so many goals with Fernando Santos as manager. Hopefully that will come to pass, but we'll see if that changes. Another Portuguese manager lost his job this week, and that is, of course, Nuno Espírito Santo is no longer a manager of his club in Saudi Arabia. Apparently, he was very difficult there, wasn't willing to change his system to adapt. And as a result, Nuno Espírito Santo is no longer the manager of his club in Saudi Arabia, Al-Ittihad. Rafael Leão, man of the match this week, scored a wonderful goal. I think he scored AC Milan's first goal in the Champions League this campaign. But Rafael Leão is a player that will be called up by Roberto Martinez. But I also think you'll see him get a lot of minutes up top. And maybe he's going to finally play both matches because this is an opportunity for him to show his stuff. And I think that would be very, very good. Let me continue as I move forward here in this different podcast. Let's talk about the Big Four. And we'll start off with Benfica, of course. I talked about their Champions League things. But the biggest thing this weekend also was that Benfica basically... the fans again. It happened last year in Milan with the quarterfinal against Inter. Apparently it's happened again in Spain with basically flares being thrown at fans. Rui Costa was absolutely embarrassed by this and angry, kept apologizing in the VIP box to the Real Sociedad president. And I think it's safe to say that Benfica will probably be receiving a very heavy punishment. What could that mean? It could be a match behind closed doors, which, by the way, you haven't earned any money in group play. And now there's a possibility in the future you may lose a home match with no fans, and now you're going to lose more money. So, look, how you solve this problem, by the way, if you're Benfica, even if you do tell your fans all the time through social media to not throw flares, and, you know, unfortunately, not everybody listens. And by the way, how do they get flares get into the stadium? How do traveling supporters get into the stadium with flares, toshas? I mean, how is that possible? They obviously don't sell them in the stadium. So how is this being snuck in? And that's also generating some attention. That's a big issue. But Benfica, it sort of happened to Benfica, I think, 4 or 5 years ago when they went to play a match at Atletico with flares. So this is a very serious issue. It's going to cost Benfica money. Could cost a closed-door ban for 1 or 2 matches, maybe even more. But this is the last thing that Rui Costa wants to deal with when his club is as disappointing as they are. And one of the newspapers, the Record, even mentioned about the possibility that maybe time could be up pretty soon for Roger Schmidt. I don't believe in that. I mean, he's doing well in the Liga. He's doing well in all the other domestic competitions. But if they lose to Sporting, maybe there could be some... He could be on the hot seat even more. I could possibly see that. But I don't see anything happening right away. Sporting, obviously, more rumors continue about Gonçalo Inácio. Could be a January sell to one of the big EPL clubs. We'll see what happens. Will Pote get called up by Roberto Martinez? I think it's time. I think he will get called up. We'll see. But at the end of the day, Sporting haven't lost in the Liga. They are second place in the Europa group and look in good position to qualify. And things continue to go well for them. I mean, things continue to go well for them. And I think Ruben Amorim was also, he's been mentioned again with some big clubs in England, the EPL, the Premier League. And we'll see what happens. But everything's going good for, Ruben Amorim. This is probably his better teams that he's had in the last 2 years, in my opinion. Obviously, his Swedish striker scoring a lot of goals. He's got a great defender in the back. So things are looking pretty good for Ruben Amorim. We'll see if it continues. We'll move along to Porto. Incredible story that Pep is becoming the oldest player to score in the Champions League. Him and like Cristiano, their ability, or even Tom Brady, you know, all those guys, man, they just take care of their bodies. They don't eat crap. They just do what they've got to do to win. And as a result, they're in great shape. And he's still playing at 48 years old. Most players retire around 35, 36 years old. And here he is past his the expectancy. And he's playing well into his 40s. And he continues as well to play for the national team. I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't get called up by Roberto Martinez. Let him rest. He's one player that you definitely don't really need to be playing. But Pep continues to be a great story. The other Pepe hasn't scored. I couldn't believe it. In like 9 months for Porto. Incredible. One player that is scoring a lot of goals that would make it easier for Tereme to leave in the January window, and I mentioned this about 2 months ago, is Evan Nielsen. He has been scoring a lot of goals in the Champions League and in the Liga. And as a result, if Evan Nielsen scores, it makes it that much easier to let Tereme leave, especially if the clubs in Italy want him in January. But Evan Nielsen, again, this is a player that suffered so many injuries. So many injuries. Perhaps he's finally turned it around and he's gotten it going, because Porto don't want players like this to be on the medical bulletin. They want players to play. They want players to score. And then at a certain point, of course, they want players to be sold and make money, just like any club in Portugal. Braga, well, if they score that PK against Real Madrid, maybe they make things interesting in the Bernabeu. But I think we all know they were walking into a very tough situation. But look, Braga is worrisome. Right now they sit in fourth place, but they are already 8 points off of first place Sporting. They are 5 points off of second place, which, again, remember, next year, second place doesn't get you automatic Champions League qualification. It only gets you to play the third preliminary round in the playoff. But Braga is struggling. They've had already two draws in the Liga. And they've already suffered two draws in the Liga, and they haven't been playing well. But Simon Banza has been playing well. His hat trick last week against Portimonense gives him 10 goals, and he's leading the Liga. Braga has a great attack. Banza, Ricardo Huerta. You know, they got so many good players. I mean, I'm surprised. Bruma, I'm surprised that they're not doing any better than they are. But right now they're struggling. And yes, it's still the big four for those that don't agree with it. And yes, they are still the big four. Let me continue here and kind of wrap up my episode. And again, thank you for putting up with this long discussion. Again, because of my problems, hopefully they'll be fixed. First off, let me start off with the mailbag. Want to say a special thank you. A gentleman on Twitter, GS7_87, GS7. Apparently, he was in Portugal recently, and he wanted to compliment me. CC, thank you to PSoccer.com for recommending me to attend a Liga 3 match. Of course, as you know, I always talk about it, whether it's the districts, whether it's the fourth tier, the third tier. Go support your local club. Even if you're not in the area and you hear about a local match on a weekend, go support the local clubs. They can use the ticket revenue. They can use the people buying their food. But thank you. He went to a match with Atlético Clube de Portugal in the third tier, better known as Atlético. He went to the Estádio da Tapadinha in Lisbon, and he posted it up on social media. So thank you so much. Again, his Twitter handle is GS7_89. Thank you for pointing me out. I just wanted to say that it was great. And I hope you had a great time. Let me know how it went. I know you probably don't know the players or the team, but Atletico is a club that, although not in the last maybe 20 years, but they have a long history in the first division many, many, many years ago. So just wanted to say with that. Let me also take this opportunity. I received two Twitter questions, X questions or whatever it's called now. The first one came from Kiko. I think you were answering for the thing. Kiko, young Kiko is, of course, sort of his X-handle. Hey, you think that Roberto Martinez will call the full-strength team tomorrow, or will he experiment and call a weaker team? And, of course, he's talking about Roberto Martinez. And like I said at the beginning of this episode, I think he's going to call a combination of young players and old. I think we'll see players maybe like Cristiano and Pep not get called up. You may not even see a Ruben Diaz, maybe a Bruno Fernandes. I think this is an opportunity for players, especially players that want to play, young players. I think maybe a Rafael Leon finally maybe gets to show his stuff for two matches. Maybe Cancelo gets some minutes. João Felix will get some minutes to try to get him into rhythm. I could see those players getting called up. But I definitely think there's some opportunity here for Bruma, the goalkeeper from Braga, Mateus. I think there's an opportunity here for Pote. I really think Pote is going to get called up. I would be very disappointed if they didn't. Now, if Roberto Martinez surprises us and calls an entirely same team that he has in the past, I would be very surprised, because why are you going to play some of your better players against Liechtenstein? Why are you going to play some of your better players against Iceland? And, you know, after this break, I don't think the next international break isn't until February or March. So you got plenty of time later on to do your ideas. But again, we'll find out the day I put this episode out on Friday what exactly he's going to do. So that's my answer to that question. Jack from Holland, question, comment for the mailbag. Since you mentioned that you have been following the Liga for a long time, who are some of the players from the smaller teams that you remember vividly that deserve some attention than they get these days? Since all I have ever seen in terms of talk about such players were for players from the Big 3 and Big 5. I noticed you didn't say Big 4. Yes, Big 4. Well, let me give you a few players that you sort of know about, but you really need to know about more. This player is with Guimarães. I guess you could call them a Big 5 club, but we don't. Jota Silva of Guimarães, he played a big factor 2 years ago in getting Casapia promoted. He's kind of been doing a great job. I know there's the disappointment that they didn't qualify for the Europa Conference League, but I think he's a player to look out for. I think eventually he's going to land at a big club. Leonardo Lelu from Casapia, the player in the back there, I think he's another player that's going to get the call up. He's been doing very well for Casapia. I think Arroca Uruguayan goalkeeper, by the way, that's not easy to say, Uruguayan goalkeeper, Ado Borena. It's not easy to say. Give me some credit. Look, Arouca's having an awful year. They're in the relegation zone. They've gone from battling for the Europa Conference League in the summer qualification to being last place in the Liga. This is what happens when you have a good club and then you have to move players, sell players, or players go back on loan. This is kind of what happens. This is the worst case scenario. But this goalkeeper, who I'm sure his agent is probably worried about, basically playing for a club in the relegation, he's another good goalkeeper to look for, goalkeeper from Uruguay, Ada Buena. Another player that I really like from Boavista is Pedro Malheiro. Pedro Malheiro has been doing very well for Boavista, and I think he's worth it. So I think Jota Silva, Leonardo Lelu, Ada Buena, and Pedro Malheiro. I think those are the players that I think that we should be looking out for, and hopefully that does answer your questions. Let me go to my favorite club in Portugal, of course, as I always end this episode, and that is, of course, Athletico dos Arcos, sitting in first place. They won last week's battle, and they are in first place in their fifth-tier division with 25 points. Monção has caught up and played 9 matches last week. They only had 7. They have all caught up to 9 matches, and they are 2 points behind us with 23 points in second place. And Punta Barca, I'm disappointed to see them near the top, but they are in third place. But we are 4 points ahead of them, and I'm pretty happy about that. But Punta Barca is sitting in third place. Cardinal Lens, who Atlético de Arcos just beat, is sitting in fourth place. The other team in Arcos de Valverde, Távora, is sitting in 14th place, but they're not having a very good year. But again, I'm really more interested in Atlético de Arcos. And this weekend, this Sunday, Atlético de Arcos will be making the trip to play Valenciano. I believe that's in the Viana do Castelo area. And basically Valenciano sitting in sixth place in the table. So that's not necessarily an easy match. Monção, the second place team, where's Monção here? Monção apparently are going to be playing. Well, actually, they're not playing this weekend from what I could see. There could be some local cup action going on. But Monção's next match is against Punta Barca, and that'll be the following week. So there's apparently only a handful of matches this weekend. They must be doing the League Cup. Believe it or not, at the district level, they do have like their own cup competition, and some do a League Cup competition from what I understand. So, but anyway, I'm going to worry about my club, and that is, of course, Sunday playing Valenciano, the sixth place team in the region. Listen, I'm going to end it by saying it's been a chaotic week in Portugal. The Prime Minister of Portugal resigned. Some of his staff are being accused of corruption and money things. And it's been a very rough week in Portugal, and it looks like they're going to have new elections in Portugal in March. This could have a working effect on the World Cup, because Antonio Costa's leadership was very important in getting the World Cup, Portugal to bid for the World Cup in the fashion that they have. But Antonio Costa has resigned. He is no longer the prime minister. So I'm very curious to see about the relationship between the government now and the World Cup bid. Look, it's going to happen. There will be a World Cup in Portugal. The question is how much is the government now, whoever comes in, willing to spend, or how much are they willing to devote resources? That's going to be a very interesting question, task in the future. So a bit of a chaotic week in Portugal. The prime minister resigned, and now the question is what happens next? Anyway, folks, thanks for putting up with this long podcast as I explained what happened. I'm going to wrap it up as I always. Please take care of yourselves. Please take care of your family, and I'll talk to you next week. Ciao, everybody.